Welcome to Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Good morning, Houston. Good morning, Harris County. Good morning to the great state of Texas. And of course, good morning to United States of America. Good morning to every nook and cranny receiving our 100,000 watt transmitter, whether it be Northeast Texas, Southeast Texas, Southwest Louisiana, Northwest Louisiana. But of course, welcome to the world, because we are on the internet as well, and we have listeners all over. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a great program as usual for you. But again, I think I'm going to say this up front. If for some reason we don't get to the topics, which is more likely than not, because you come first, whenever you call, you come first. Remember to go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter, politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. All the videos and the blogs and everything that we would have covered today are right smack and dandy in that newsletter that goes out at 5 every single morning, every single weekday morning. Anyway, folks, before we get anywhere else, let's go ahead and go to the great geniuses in the studio.
And those heinous geniuses are right here.
I'm a heathen genius.
Well, no, you have to be a heinous, because he said heinous geniuses.
Oh my God, well. guys! Before we go on a tangent, genio is genius in Spanish. So I was just speaking two languages at the same time. That's all. I didn't mean heinous. I meant genios. Thank you.
Well, we are pretty heinous, you know. Jack has some wisdom for us. He's got a whole page there.
He's been working on. Let me hear it. Well, Jack.
Yeah, of course. I couldn't do this program without Jack.
No,
there's no way. Because, you know, when he was gone last week, the whole thing just went to hell in a handbasket. I just couldn't do it without him.
I hear you.
Thank y'all, man. I really appreciate that. I turn red here.
He's blushing. He's the color of his shirt.
I wore red today.
Putting praise upon you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of embarrasses me when people do the same thing. It's like, oh, come on, man. This is a job to me, but it's a cool job.
All right.
What you got, man?
Well, it's not going to be the whole page. You know, I really love it when Code Pink gets involved in helping others. They don't ask. They just go about the business of doing it. If you're looking for a moral compass, Code Pink is one to watch. I'm very impressed with these people.
Never heard of them. Apparently, okay. I've never needed their help.
Well, you know, my dear Benjamin is a friend of mine for years. You know, I met her at the Democratic Convention. I mean, the Democracy Convention, two different things. The Democracy Convention in Madison, Wisconsin. And she co-founded this group with her husband, and they go around the world fighting for peace. She's the one that interrupted Obama, interrupted Bush, interrupted. She goes to the White House and, you know, she protests, you know. And so she, generally speaking, she's neither liked by Democrats or Republicans, because, again, they have one moral compass. They're not pragmatic at all. They just go ahead and they do the moral thing, irrespective of who's morally deficient or whatever the case is. These guys, I have a lot of respect for them. A lot of people are concerned that the way they protest, they don't take a lot of the politics involved. They just look at this is right, this is wrong. I think we do and will always need groups that don't take the politics but take the morality into consideration, so that those who have to take the politics, including folks like myself, I take stance, like I told you guys yesterday. There are certain times I would take stances that are against my values if I think it's for the better good of the cause. They are singularly focused, generally speaking. But anyway, folks, we're going to have a great show today. Title of the show is Anti-Democratic Warnings, Signs, Code Pink Trying to Deliver Aid to Gaza, Supreme Court on Abortions, Code Pink is Stuck in Turkey Trying to Get Ships with Aid to Gaza. The Tig Varis speaks. He's one of the representatives from Code Pink, and I'll give you the little story about how I got that interview with him after I speak to Johnny, because after that, I have a 13-minute interview that I did with him yesterday. So let's go and say good morning to the mayor of Politics Done Right, El Señor Johnny. How are you doing this morning, my brother?
I trust you guys can hear me correctly.
Yes, we can.
Here, this is for Captain Reynolds Rap. Captain Reynolds Rap, since you're not familiar with Code Pink, go onto Google and type in crime scene tape around the White House. And that is hilarious. They are expert, hilarious, powerful in political theater. That's all I have to say about Code Pink. I love Code Pink. We need more crime scene tape. Let's wrap some crime scene tape around Lindsey Graham and Jim Jordan and Marjorie Taylor. Oh, especially Marjorie Taylor Taylor. Let's wrap her around with that Sarah Palin wannabe out of Colorado, Lauren Boebert. Let's wrap the two of them together face to face, since they are such frenemies. Oh, I would love to see what would happen then. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Johnny. Thank you very much, Johnny. But anyway. Were you going to say something, Howard?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, I thought I heard something in the background. Anyway, so yes, well, that a couple of days ago, you know, I go through my TikTok channels, et cetera. And the way TikTok works is if you follow a lot of news, if you follow a lot of particular things, it keeps you up to date with feeds from other folks that you follow doing the same thing. So my dear Benjamin, who is the head of Code Pink, she had a video saying, hey, we are here in Turkey. We have these ships that we're trying to get to Gaza with aid, but the U.S. government is, along with Israel, are not getting, you know, giving them the authorization or whatever to get over there. And so she was putting a call out. And, you know, I didn't know she was in Turkey. So I sent her a text and said, hey, I didn't know you were out there. Can we talk? I want to get you in, you know, give some exposure to what you're talking about. She says she was getting ready to hit a plane back here to DC. So, but she gave me the name of a guy I hadn't heard about before, who is a member of Code Pink. So this is an interview that I got with him. Yesterday morning, while they're still waiting to depart Turkey to Gaza with over 5,000 tons of stuff. Now, that sounds like a lot. It's a ship full of stuff, but there's so much more that they need. But this was all donations given from people all over the world to go ahead and go into Gaza. So here is that interview, and then we'll take it on the other side. Welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. My name is Egberto Willis, your host. As we all know, there's quite a bit happening on the other side of the world. In Gaza, we know what's occurring. We know that Netanyahu and the IDF are committing what most of us believe to be war crimes. And there are a whole lot of people suffering in Gaza. Well, you know, Americans are over there not only doing, are over there now doing some good things.
So we're getting ready to break the siege of Gaza, the naval blockade, by taking this enormous ship. And there'll be hundreds of us on board, as well as our enormous cargo ship that's taking so much desperately needed humanitarian aid. But just take a look at the preparations that are going on so that we can get aboard and break the siege of Gaza.
In a short time, this boat will be filled with hundreds of people who will be trying to make our way to Gaza to deliver aid and to deliver solidarity and say, you are not alone. We, the people of the world, are with you. We hope the Israelis don't stop us along the way. We hope we complete our mission to actually get to Gaza, that we will not stop until the people of Palestine are free.
And we have with us today, Tig Varis with Code Pink. Welcome to Politics Done Right. Tig, how are you doing today?
Very good, thank you, actually. But I'm in Turkey right now. I would like to be in Gaza helping my brothers and sisters, and children and the others. You know, something, yes, very bad things are happening there.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you...
I was just thinking about when your introduction is, I know personally that there are Americans, U.S. citizens, that hold Israeli passports as well as American passports and are fighting on behalf of another country. There are congressional representatives that have gone and joined the IDF, a foreign government, a foreign military committing genocide. So we have to keep this in mind as we talk.
Great. Well, look, that is so true. And, you know, I mean, imagine if one of our brothers and sisters from, let's say, Iran, or one of our brothers and sisters from Saudi Arabia, or one of our brothers and sisters from UAW decided to have an American passport as well as a UAE passport and say, I am going to go fight a war that UAE is fighting. I don't think we would look so kindly on that. I think it is time for, and look, the only reason these things occur is that the American citizenry are not quite well informed. And if you want a good example, your story isn't being covered in the United States right now. And when I heard about it, I said I needed to give a platform. Tell me, why are you in Turkey right now?
Well, my story is a little different than a lot of people. And I begin to cry when I think of Gaza, because I've been to Gaza since 2009. I've been there 11 times. I have family and friends. I know it's a common narrative for your Jewish American or your Israeli American to say, I have family in Israel. I'm worried about my family in Israel. Really? I've lost contact with my family in Han Yunus. Now, are they blood relatives? No. But many of these people that claim to have relatives, claim to have people in Israel in danger, don't also do not have blood relatives, but they consider them family. I have been there 11 times. I know my Palestinian brothers and sisters. I know my friends from Gaza, and I know what they are capable of doing and incapable of doing.
Let's talk about, what are you and Code Pink doing in Turkey right now?
Well, right now, me and my fellows that identify as Code Pink are here to bring the most important vital necessity of 5,500 key tons of food, medical equipment, medicines, wheelchairs, all the things that the people of Gaza will need when this horrific genocide is concluded. Inshallah, it's concluded. Inshallah means God willing. But it's become a phrase, it's Arabic, obviously. It's become a phrase that's become everybody, that comes off of everybody's mouth, because it's solidarity. It's solidarity with the Palestinian people. And
so,
we need to get this aid in.
So tell me, what do you guys have? How many of you are out there? Who's what kind of sponsorship do you have? And I understand that you have several ships to go over ready to get into Gaza right now. Is that correct?
Yes, we have three boats that I know about right here in Turkey. The rest of the flotilla is not in my purview. I'm not that level of
organization.
The central committee.
Right.
Yeah, the organization. But we have one very large passenger ship. We have a smaller passenger ship, and we have a huge freighter. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it. It's massive. I personally have not seen it. It's docked in a secret location because the Israelis have multiple times destroyed our equipment. We have to keep this as secret as possible. Not because we want to be non-transparent. We want to be transparent. It's just that we have been sabotaged so many times.
So when
the boats are ready, we're ready to leave.
Are the boats stocked with food and medicines already?
Well, the main cargo ship has all that stuff on it, ready to go. It is ready. And you know, the fact that we as common, like I worked in film and television for 18 years. Like I'm just a guy, man. I'm an artist and I like to play with, you know, my family in California. I like to, you know, I go surfing. I'm not from the government. My government should be bringing 5,500 tons of aid and not let Israel go through it.
Wait, how many tons? 5,000 tons?
Tons of aid, man. Yeah. And this is all by individual donations. This is like unheard of. IHAHA, or IAH, is an organization that is the head or the, I don't know what you want to say. Like they're the guys who got the boats, organized this whole thing. IHAHA is a well-established NGO. It has a place at the UN. Like someone the UN goes to for aid. They're in 150 countries around the world. They came to Katrina. They come to places where Muslims mostly are in danger and they help out. I've been in Gaza after many invasions and massacres by the Israeli crowd and IHAHA is always there.
Now, before we end, why is it that you're not? Why are you in port and not sailing onto a port or something in Gaza right now?
Well, my brother, I'm pretty sure you could answer that question yourself, but I'm gonna do it anyway. The United States government, which is the most powerful government in the world today, and this is why people like me. Is my opinion, call it the empire, because we have bases around the world. China doesn't have bases around the world. Russia doesn't have bases around the world. We have bases around the world. We are the only ones that are supporting this genocide. It's you and me, my brother. I don't know if you carry an American passport, but if you do, even if you live in the United States and don't carry an American passport, you're responsible for this. In the 1940s, my father went over to fight what he thought was fascism. Nobody even knew that there was a genocide going on. They didn't have a clue. That took years to all of a sudden they figured out what was going on and people were burned in ovens. Then they came to this conclusion that there was this thing called the Holocaust. Right now, we are at the beginning of this. 5 to 10 years from now, you Americans, and I'm pointing at you Americans, are going to feel the suffering and the pain that German people have felt for 70 years. They are always thought of as genociders and Nazi sympathizers. We are allowing this to happen. It's not Israel alone. Every bomb, every bullet, every plane that comes from that country that kills innocent people in Gaza, in Palestine, West Bank, has our name on it. We pay for it. We just spent $26 billion.
Yeah.
$26 billion mm-hmm. to fund a genocide.
I think it's important for what I tell most of my American brothers and sisters is, if you want to know what's really going on, look at what's happening in Gaza, which isn't all that far from Tel Aviv, which isn't all that far from Jerusalem. This is a very small area. Two cities. One says that they're aggrieved. The IDF and Netanyahu says, oh, we are under attack. Take a look at Gaza. Take a look at Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv people are going to have their coffees. They're going to work. And they're doing their thing. They're driving their cars on their freeways. Gaza is rubble. Rubble with our bombs. Now, we at some point in time, we are going to have to self-reflect. And I fear that something that you said is prescient. And that is, just as the Germans are all, whenever you hear German, the first thing you think about is Holocaust. We don't want it to be the first time you hear American. It's what's occurring in Gaza. And Gaza is just one instantiation. Well, look, I really wanted to let America know that there are Americans in the Gaza area now. You're in Turkey, that are doing the humanitarian thing, not the military thing, the humanitarian thing, to go out there and feed babies, feed women, feed men, heal women, heal babies, heal men, and do the right thing. I thank you so kindly, Tig, Barry, for what you're doing out there. And, you know, keep me posted as far as how successful you are in getting over 5,000 tons of food and medicine over to Gaza.
Well, I should tell every American, get on the phone, call your State Department, call your representative, call your senator, call the White House, send emails. Let us sail. We have no way of hurting Israel. The only thing we can do is help people on the ground.
Thank you
and
so
it's
kindly.
It's time for Americans to step up.
Tig, Barry, thank you so kindly for speaking with me. And I spoke to Tig yesterday. I haven't found out if the ships have sailed yet. We trust and hope that shortly the ships will be sailing. Anyway, folks, the telephone number is 713-526-5738. Again, that number is 713-526-5738. If you have any comments, whether on the war in Gaza or on any other subject, please feel free to give us a call at 713-526-5738. Before I get any further, yesterday I spent, after visiting with one of our supporters, I went and had some coffee yesterday morning with Bruce, one of KPFT and Politics and Rights great supporters. We had you know, some long talks on several of these issues. And you know, as soon as I came home, I started watching the deliberations in the Supreme Court on whether presidents have a total immunity. And while it seemed like most of the justices, except for Clarence Thomas, pretty much seem to indicate that it's not total immunity, it seemed like there's quite a bit of immunity that they would like to consider for the president. Now, we've had 46 presidents since the inception of this country. Every president has known that the things that they did should be nominally legal. And the few presidents that did things that were not nominally legal, they paid the price, not in jail, but it was known that they could have gone to jail. They could have paid the price. Nixon got a pardon. Clinton gave up his license for 5 years. Ronald Reagan didn't quite pay a price for Iran Contra, even though that went against the law. But again, there were hearings, at least, et cetera, quite a bit. But when you listen to the Supreme Court yesterday morning, it was clear that these guys were out specifically to aid President Trump. And one has to ask, why? I am really at a loss with these guys. But for now, let's go ahead and bring Patrick into the discussion. Good morning, Patrick. How are you doing, my brother?
Good morning and happy Friday. First, thank you to Chris Pink. I learned a lot about the Bush and the Obama administration through them, and they really opened my eyes to politics when I was a lot younger. Again, thank you. And you're already kind of on the topic that I want to talk about. A lot of the people that seem to justify or downplay the January 6th events are also the people that are condemning black folks are taking a knee in the NFL, and students trying to stop an unjustified war. And it seems like if a protest is intended to do good, they don't seem to agree with it. But if it seems to be intending to end democracy, they seem to be on board with it. And I don't understand how. And there's no departure between the support of what happened on January 6th and the support of Trump. So I was hoping that you could ask on my behalf some of the people that do agree with Trump and don't agree with the peaceful protest, what the justification is. And then also I'd like to ask you, how many people have you asked what they want out of government? I challenged that a few months ago.
I am so glad that you brought that up. And in fact, I followed suit on my 3 o'clock program, not one time, not two times, but consistently in our chats, et cetera, what people want. And the conclusion is something that I have. Yeah, look, I don't think I had explicitly done it as you asked before, Patrick, but it's interesting that in my chat, I can point out to specifically members on both sides of the aisle. They'll come out and say certain things. And when you start to line these things up, you find out that basically when you take out a whole lot of issues, they want the same thing. And so that used to be a cliche statement. I think it's clearly not cliche, but true. And I want to point out to one of our callers here all of the times, a regular caller here, his name, and I hope he calls in today. His name is Joe. I want you to refer to the last statement that he made the last time he called. He said, Egberto, I want to discuss, and I'm paraphrasing, that if MAGA and progressives were to remove some of those ideological stopping points, how much we could actually get done together. And I don't know if Joe knows the impact that statement had on me, because when I heard somebody that's supposed to be diametrically opposed to me, I knew that we really had more in common. But just listening to that brought me not only, I don't like to use the word hope, but brought me direction as far as connecting with people. Anything else, Patrick?
I appreciate the positive outlook on his statement. What I got out of his statement was, if we remove social programs and we remove the caring from government, we can focus on economy. And
Can I interrupt you, Patrick? A lot of times, Patrick, that is the case, right? A lot of times, what you said, because remember, a lot of these things that people say, they're talking points, right? But when you bring it, they're talking points. But when we are talking together and we bring it down to the familial level, to the things that people want, let me give an example for the people on social programs. Ask a lot of the Trump voters if they would want you to take away their social security check. You know what the answer is going to be. So again, it's about, in my opinion, it's about reframing to really look at, look, I don't have to have something work for me. If it works for most of the people, I'm on board. And it's a matter of reframing our thought process into that domain, in my humble opinion, that it does. I don't have to be the beneficiary of it. As an example, I paid off my student loans 100%. But that doesn't mean I am not in support of those folks who have hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans, that I don't support student loan forgiveness on these people. So it's about making things a little bit more selfless. Anything else, Patrick? My lines are filled.
Oh, no, go ahead. Thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you so kindly. You too, my friend. All right, let's go to Jeff. Come on in, Jeff.
Hi, Egberto. It's a pleasure to get to speak with you. I wanted to bring up the TikTok ban, because I think it's relevant in our dying media space. Do you happen to know, is Steve Mnuchin still the prime contender? Last I heard, Steve Mnuchin was gathering investors to buy TikTok. Go ahead.
You can rest assured that he's still involved. Look, we've got
Elon Musk turned Twitter into a fascist mouthpiece.
And in my view, Facebook
is a democracy destabilization tool. Maybe that's radical to say, but I'm going to let you take it.
I'm not going to complain about your statement at all. Let me just say though, Jeff, that the TikTok takeover has always been a fraud from the time that people started talking about it. Unfortunately, they went ahead and convinced a lot of folks somehow that this is some incursion by China. Look, China didn't need TikTok for incursion. Facebook, Instagram, and all these platforms were successfully used by... Yeah, can you hear me? I don't know why you can't. I can hear you very well, Jeff. I can hear you very well. All right. We lost Jeff. I don't know what happened, but I could hear everything Jeff was saying. But let me respond to Jeff. Everything that TikTok is being accused of doing, manipulating, etc., we don't need TikTok for that. Facebook will take money to do everything they want TikTok to do, or they claim TikTok is doing. It's a snow job on Americans, a way for our plutocracy to take over a platform. It is just theft. That's what it is. That's what it is. There are a lot of Americans making a lot of money on TikTok, the shopping and all these kinds of things, other than the stuff it promotes. But here's the thing. There are two reasons I think folks want TikTok gone. It does a very good job in bringing the good information, good news, good research news. I mean, yes, it has a whole lot of fraud on it as well, but no different than Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or any other one, right? It is a fraud what the Congress has done, and it has done it because of misinformation and a false information. But anyway, let me go ahead and go to Bard, and then we'll continue to move on. Come on in, Bard.
And a lot of good callers this morning. Just want the voters to remember that regarding TikTok, Joe Biden is the one that has banned TikTok. He signed this into law that they're going to take away your TikTok. So I want you to remember this when you go to the polls in November. But that's not why I called. I called about...
I want to answer your statement there, Bard. I want to answer your statement, you know, and that is correct. It's Bard and all... It's everybody. It's a large percentage of the politicians, less good progressives that went ahead and voted against it, okay? So let's be clear here. This has universal support. The banning of TikTok, universal political support, the banning of TikTok. And that is how powerful our plutocracy is. Continue, Bard.
Well, they gladly threw that ban in on the last bill that Mr. Biden gladly signed, you know, with the $60 billion to Burisma in Ukraine. For what? I don't know. A bunch of money to Israel. Who cares? That's not my flag. My flag is the U.S. flag. Don't care about Ukraine. Don't care about Israel. But anyway, I wanted to call you about Kim Ogg because I'm so proud of her. You had her on your show. I believe it was early this year.
Yes, I did.
And she's done the right thing with this. Lena Hidalgo's got three of her staff that are under indictment. And my question is, what other people could work for the county and be under indictment and still have a job?
And who's under indictment with a job?
Lena Hidalgo's three staffers. They
don't work for her. They don't work for her anymore.
Well, any employee of the county is under indictment. Would they still have a job if they weren't Lena Hidalgo's cronies?
I said they're not working for the county. As I understand, they have been gone for quite a while now.
Oh, no, no. They're still there. One of them, they shifted over to flood control. They stuck him in and gave him a nice high salary position. He's like some kind of resilience planner with air quotes. And the other two still work there. And I believe they still work for Lena.
Okay. No, I don't think they work for Lena, but I could. Let me just say this. I better not just say no, they don't work there, because I mean, their employment issues, et cetera. And this is an indictment, and it's an indictment by Kim Ogg. And as much as I like Kim Ogg, personally, I don't like Kim Ogg politically, because Kim Ogg actually, I think, is having a vendetta against Lena Hidalgo. And I don't see how she could turn over a case to a criminal organization as she does that. Remember, Paxton is not one of your most honest people out there, and it's his office that she turned it over to. With regards to what occurred here with this contract, the truth will come out, and when the truth come out, it should be all for us to see as disinfectant. I've spoke to the judge. I've spoke to quite a few other people, and I can tell you, first of all, that the current judge is not corrupt at all. And I can also tell you that many other judges previous to her have been a part of the good old boy system. And that is the reason why, from the mayor to others, are giving this young progressive woman a hard time. But Bart, I got to go to Joe. I know what your position is, and you've had your platform here as usual, and you'll continue to have your platform here. All right, my brother? Okay. Take care.
One last thing.
Okay, real quick, Bart.
Yeah, this good old boy network is Sean Tier. He works for the law firm that is defending one of her staffers. He works for Cogdill.
And go ahead and look at her record with law firms. Law firms is sort of in incestuous relationships. But we'll talk about that another time. But thank you very much, Brother Bard, for calling in. And let's go to Brother Joe. Come on in, Joe. If this is a Joe that I spoke kindly about a few minutes ago.
Joe Big Oil Man, the one and only.
The one and only Oil Man Joe. Hey, talk to me, brother.
Hey, man, as usual, the freaking door opens and my mind goes blank. But
you see what I mean? You know why it goes blank, right? It goes blank because the truth is just coming in. You open the door and the truth is bombarding you, man. Talk to me, brother.
interesting that comes along. That's another area where progressives and MAGA folks' interests align, because I think they both realize that, you know, by, you know, setting a precedent for banning TikTok, it just gives them another cudgel, you know, to hurt them with down the road. Yeah. Now there's precedent. If there's a site too progressive or a site too conservative, then they have legal means now to just shut that one down as well. Right. So that's the TikTok ban is, I don't like the Chinese government either, but the TikTok ban isn't what you think it is, I don't think. I think it's going to be a weapon for us down the road.
Well, you know what, Joe, let me tell you why I so much agree with you. And I think Patrick brought that up. Mnuchin. That's all I got to say. Mnuchin. That's all we got to say.
The investor?
Yes. 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 But yeah. Anything else, Joe? I want to get to Harry and then Johnny Joe. So anything else you got to say real quickly, my brother?
Yeah, one other thing. Somebody mentioned, somebody on another show yesterday, they talked about Agent Provocateur, and they talked about times in history when, government operatives would go in and break windows and start fires.
Yes, they did.
Provide an excuse for law enforcement to get involved. And the one glaring exception from his list of things was January 6th.
There were I know you're going there.
I mean, it, you know, it, it, fits right in with all the rest of them. You know, you've got a guy, he's breaking windows. And then Trump people were like, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And then he pushes them in the frame and he says, y'all stop doing that. It's clear that the government.
Joe, I'm not, Joe, here's the deal. I'm not going to talk about that one because I want to get to some other callers. But let me just tell you, Joe, you're better than that. That's all I'm going to say. You're better than that and you're smarter than that. Go ahead and look at the transcripts of some of the people who got convicted, okay? But let's talk later, Joe. I want to go to Harry. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you. Hey, I appreciate you. We'll talk later. Let's go to Harry. Come on in, Harry.
Good morning, Eberto. Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Jack. Love you guys always. Well, I'm against the TikTok ban. I think it's infringing on people's rights to express themselves. And as you said there, Eberto, maybe Steve Mnuchin is doing this to try to shut it down. And it could be also because they don't like when people give their perspective of what Benjamin Netanyahu is doing in there in the Gaza and the Jew, you know, APEC. I did hear some things about APEC wanted TikTok banned because they don't want people getting certain truths out there. And kudos to Tag Barry, that video with Code Pink. They're doing the right thing, doing a humanitarian thing like that. And then I listened to some of that, kind of fell asleep through some of it, but then I listened to afterwards when they were breaking it down what the Supreme Court was saying about January 6th. And I like what Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson said when she talked about Richard Nixon, who did the Watergate thing, as we know, and why should Donald Trump be above and be when he does what he did on January 6th, why should he receive total immunity? And it seemed to me a lot of those. And I think Sotomayor supported what Ketanji Brown Jackson was doing. And I think the other one.
Elena Kagan. And Elena Kagan, but let me tell you who surprised me the most, Harry. And I was very proud of her, believe it or not, even though I differ with her ideologically. But Barrett didn't join the good old boys. Barrett was in the skin of some of these guys. And it shocked me because she was, you know, she understood the good old boy network in action. She got it. I couldn't believe that this conservative Supreme Court judge that we gave a hard time when she was getting onto the court, and I would give her a hard time coming onto the court again, but because of her ideological bent, but she did the right thing yesterday. But Harry, I got to keep moving. I got to keep moving, Harry.
Okay. Barrett, you're right about that because they did mention her being on with the liberal justices, and it's just, you know, kudos to them. And I just hope that Donald Trump's held accountable for this, as I hope he's held accountable for the falsifying of the business records when that trial is done as well.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Harry. Let's go ahead and get Johnny involved. Johnny spoke already, so let's go to Derek then, Johnny. Derek, come on in.
Hey, Alberto. Hey,
good morning,
you
sir.
Good morning. I just want to say that what you were saying about the words that Joe had said that you agree with, mm-hmm. brother, to be honest with you, that sounded a lot like Camelot. It is very beautiful. But you know as well as I do, America has this two-party system. And with this two-party system, everybody in there are colonized. They have a colonized mind to the ideals of those political lords in there. Even though what you said was very beautiful and pointed, but then did you listen to the last three callers?
Garth, yes.
Patrick and Joe himself.
Yes. Let me say this.
What type of value you were trying to give?
Let me respond to that, Derek. Let me respond to that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is willing to do it, right? But remember, the reason we have factionalization is everybody thinks the other person hates their guts or at least is trying to do harm. I speak a lot about a document called the Powell Memo. This Powell Memo has been instrumental in infiltrating our universities or churches or news media and everything to create or continue and enhance the factionalization, right? Now, if I close my dialogue with folks that I – look, let me just tell you. I don't like some of the things that you may hear from Joe and Bard, but I definitely don't hate Joe and Bard, and nor would I disregard Joe and Bard. Because if I ever did that, then the plutocracy wins. Because that is their goal. Their goal is to ensure that I hate Bard's guts and you hate Bard's gut and you hate Joe's guts so much that you guys can never get together and see your commonality. So I may be, some may look at what I do as naive, right? But I've seen it work too often and say that if I can get more people, and it doesn't have to be you. I mean, look, you and I are on the same wavelength, right? But me and others aren't. That's fine. And you may have less tolerance than I do in being able to hold back so that we can have the better communication. And that's okay. But the thing about it is we do need those who are not, those of us who can do it, should do it to ensure that what the plutocracy has mandated on us doesn't come to fruition. And that's where I'm at. So I am not disagreeing with anything you've just said. I am just saying, I am leaving that door open, and every crack that I get that I can get into, I will use. Go ahead, my brother.
Now, I'm like you, brother. I'm like you. I'm open to both, but the reality is that an environment has been created. Yes. And what I mean about a colonized mind, I talked about both. We all are being led by the ideals of our individual party. Yes. So, you know, like I'm like you, man, let's do it. But the problem is you already know people will say things and then turn around and flip and do the other things because of the idea that they exude. It's just the truth, it's just a matter. The environment, the political wars.
Let me give you a real good thing. I don't know if you heard me say this before, but I had a brother in the gym that came up to me and, you know, after we spoke a lot, all that kind of stuff. And he slapped me on the back one day and he said, I'm going to make your day. And I'm like, okay, make my day. And he says, I am going to be voting for the Democrats that you've been telling me were the best candidates in this particular race. But I want you to know that I am no damn Democrat. To which I looked at the guy and said, no problem, bro. That's fine. I don't care what you want to call yourself. If you are voting for your interest, the reality is you're also voting for my interest. So I got to go, Derek, but you know where I'm coming from. I know where you're coming from. Thank you, my brother.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Let's go to Johnny. Come on in, Johnny.
Yeah, real quickly, before I reach out to and respond to Patrick, I'd like to remind Breitbart that when he loves to point out the alleged corruption of various Democrats, like Lena Hidalgo, I will answer his question to you that, we do have someone on the other side of the aisle, a Republican, the so-called Attorney General of Texas, who has been under indictment I don't know for how long, and he was able to get away with it. And to evil in his office. We have people like in Georgia, the guy who was the voter in charge of the registrar's office when he was running for governor against Stacey Abrams. Remember that, what he did?
Yeah.
There's a lot of examples on the other side of the aisle. Just to remind
Johnny, I got to go, but thank you, Mayor of Politics Done Right. Let's go to Augie.
I have a question for Patrick.
Real quick.
So we're reaching out to Patrick. Hello?
Yes, that was Bard you're talking about, though, not Patrick. Bard.
No, I said before I reach out to Patrick, I wanted to remind Breitbart about what he said about Lena Hidalgo. To remind him about the Texas Attorney General.
Okay, now, real quick, Johnny.
Patrick, I hope you're listening. Patrick, I would like to ask you how you feel about health care. Do you think health care is a human right or a privilege? And that's all I have to say. Have a good day.
Thank you, Johnny. Have a great weekend. Come on in, Augie.
Hey, good morning.
Well, good morning, my brother.
They're not talking about China banning all these American internet platforms. There's a whole list of American internet platforms that China has already banned.
Yes,
and we're
true.
Just talking about one. And that thing about indictments, like Johnny said, Paxson's been indicted. Even Trump has been indicted. And as far as Paxson, his own staff doesn't even trust him. But I don't know how the Republicans could vote for him. And with the elections coming up, everybody is free to choose, but you're not free from the consequences of your choices. Like when Trump was elected, a whole bunch of people died during COVID, and many of them were his supporters. But people can argue the facts, but the facts are still the facts. And people just have a lot of opinions, and they'd rather have your opinions than look at the facts. They don't have. You need to ask them, do you have an open mind to look at the different facts that are out there, the different truths? But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there.
I appreciate you, Augie, as usual, bringing some smarts to our program. Thank you so kindly for calling in, my brother.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Brian. Come on in, Brian, real quick.
Yeah, good morning. He just sent us a letter telling us how he's going to spend our tax money. He's got $134 million for low-income rental assistance housing. You realize that that's a 305-foot tower that a toxic site that he plans on spending this money on?
I didn't know that, no, but something to look.
Yeah, Wayne Del Tufino is doing a report on it. Yes.
Okay, if it comes from Wayne Dulcich, let me just say one thing. If the report comes from Wayne Dulcich, you know, I have to go ahead and do double takes on Wayne Dulcich before I accept Wayne Dulcich's report. But go ahead, my friend.
Okay, facts are facts.
Facts are facts. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. So the facts are. He's going to spend $134 million on low-income housing on a toxic waste site with a 305-foot tower.
All right. Thank
and
you, Bob. Thank
way,
you.
It was, okay. Trump.
Trump what? Go ahead. Go ahead, real quick. I left him. Okay, let's go to Patrick. Come on in, Patrick. I see line two. Is there line two just one that's not functioning? Let's go to Patrick. Come on.
Line two is a problem, yeah.
Got you. All right, let's go to Patrick. How are you doing, brother Patrick?
I'm doing fine. I think Johnny might have mixed me up with somebody else, but I will answer his question.
That's what I thought. Go ahead, Patrick.
He asked about healthcare, and yeah, I think it's a human right. And even if I didn't think it was a human right, it would be logical to think to yourself that you don't want to be in a population surrounded by ill people. You want people that... have access to health care so they can continue to work, so they aren't spreading disease, so they aren't having issues raising their children. And I'll
Patrick,
take things even further. Yes, sir.
No, go ahead. Take things further. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
No, it's fine. Even pack animals that have an injured party in their pack will feed them and take care of them. And the people that around me think that people shouldn't be taken care of that are less fortunate, I ask them if they're any better than a dog.
You know, it's interesting, Patrick, because first of all, I think it is shameful that a lot of people don't realize that that healthcare, good healthcare, whether it's for you or everybody else, actually benefits all of us. It is something that should be known. But
100%.
Thank you so kindly. Absolutely. Thank you so kindly for calling in again to make the correction. Patrick, I want to say hello to Scanavets, SKA Nevada. I want to say hello to Billy Allison Irwin. I want to say hello to Steve M and Puffin, all on the chat. Great conversation on the chat. Thank you, guys. Egberto, given the questions from the justices, how do you think the SCOTUS will come down? I think they're going to remand it to the lower courts, which means Donald Trump won't be tried on that case at all before the election. Billy Allison says, great show. Been listening for years. SKA Nevada says, what do you think about gay in government? I have no problems at all. None whatsoever. And Puffin says, thank you. Look, let's throw this to the studio before we close this baby down.
Oh, nothing for me. Jack, what you got? Jack says he didn't have anything either, so it's all on you.
It's all on me. Well, folks, please remember, I there's a couple of videos that I wanted to play that I didn't play because I had such smart callers calling in today. But please remember, you can go to politicsdoneright.com/newsletter, politicsdoneright.com/newsletter. And all the links to our videos, all the links to the blogs, etc., are right there in the newsletter. The newsletter gets sent out at 5 in the mornings before the show. Steve M. Says, thanks, Egberto. Have a great weekend. And to all of you, I want to wish you a wonderful weekend. I'll be working pretty hard this weekend to catch up on all the things that I was unable to do this weekend. Anyway, folks, I want to thank everybody for being here. My name is Egberto Willis. This is Politics Done Right, and you guys know how I end this baby. I am what? Out! We spend a lot of time deconstructing the news, trying to parse it into a form that everybody can understand. We try to find those little nitpicks where it flies above the fray, etc. If you really like these videos that we do, I want to ask a big favor. Please go ahead, number one, subscribe to our channel, and number two, please join if you can. Thank you so kindly for watching. Keep watching. Please remember to share. We must populate the entire internet with our progressive message, a message that we know is what most Americans say that they want. So help us, please join.